The reason why I personally feel like this is the key to happiness is because it is the reminder that healing is simpler than we think it is, right? We kind of have this idea that healing is actually really complicated, but it's not as complicated as we make it out to be. And the more that we kind of understand the nervous system, the easier it is to understand how to control ourselves, our minds, and our body, right? We have so much opportunity there to heal. I think that the more that you really understand the basics of the nervous system, the more that those tools actually start to work.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike Dizio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike Dizio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
My guest today is a mindset and leadership coach whose purpose is to help empower others with the tools to live their most fulfilled life. She's a validation queen and a hype woman that helps people go on to achieve things they didn't know were possible. If you decide to follow her on Instagram, it does come with a warning. It says, "Warning, if you follow me for too long, I will brainwash you into believing you are more than worthy of love and success." Personal Development School podcast listeners and viewers, I'd like to introduce my guest, Erica Hartman. Hello, Erica. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
For sure. So just to start off, for any of our viewers who don't know you, I wonder if you could spend a few moments letting us know who you are, kind of what you do, and maybe a bit of your backstory.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so my name is Erica, and I am a life and mindset coach. And just like it was introduced earlier, my deepest passion and greatest joy in life is to help empower people with the tools to live their most fulfilled life. A little bit of backstory about me, I guess. Demographically, I'm 32 years old. I live in Arizona, and I have been helping people in a transitionary period of their life to help them get from one place to the other for about a decade now. I just for the past year and some change started doing my own thing. And that brings me to being here on this podcast. And thank you so much again for having me.
Of course. Thank you. So as you can see, like a lot of people get into coaching, personal growth work, healing work, helping others because of their own sort of personal life struggles and then triumphs. Was that the case for you? Was there some rocky roads before? Were there some issues that you had to overcome to now be able to sort of share with everybody else?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And I think that that's totally spot on. You know, I always wanted to help people. But as for, you know, what I'm doing now, it definitely took some challenging life moments to kind of get me here as well, besides professional things that I was doing. You know, to be totally frank, there was a moment of my life where I kind of realized I had lived about 8 years, you know, kind of living for other people, the approval of other people. I had made some pretty big life choices, like getting married, moving across the country, changing careers, not because I truly wanted to do those things, but because those were the things that I thought that I was supposed to be doing. Yeah. And this big moment hit me, and it was a pretty big freak out moment. I kind of thought that was rock bottom for me. And there was definitely some moments after that that took me some time to figure out how to get my feet underneath me. But really, you know, the biggest catalyst for getting me here was the fact that, you know, I'm 32 years old. I think I lived, 8 or more years of my life pretty much dedicated to trying to make other people happy. And so, yeah, I finally said no more and I wanted to learn how to choose myself. And now I really enjoy teaching other people how to do that. I think that that's something that people really struggle with. Everybody's kind of got a lot of noise in their head, whether that's from other people or from themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, through my own experiences and what I've learned, yeah, it's nice to help people through that moment. So they hopefully don't have 8 full years living a life they don't want to live.
Was it, I just want to unpack that a little bit. Was it a slow build of where you were starting to feel like, hey, this doesn't feel right, but maybe ignoring it and just being like, hey, be quiet, body, giving me signals. We have everything that you're supposed to have, or we have the husband, we have the place, the career. Was it a slow build of just the body maybe quietly whispering to you, hey, I don't know about this, to finally just screaming at you, this is not you, get out.
100%. Yeah, I thought that really well said. Yeah, it was definitely a super slow build, so much so that it was almost unnoticeable, right? And we're kind of all conditioned in some way or another to shut out that noise, right? Especially if we're living this culturally accepted life or doing these things that people see as successful, like getting married or, you know, changing jobs or whatever. You know, you're celebrated for these things. And so it kind of, you know, gaslights you in a way. You're like, oh, well, this is right. That noise, that voice that's telling me that I shouldn't do this, that's actually wrong. I should be doing this. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Good for you for listening to it. And yeah, I could see society sometimes would almost feel like, how dare you complain? Like, you know how many people would love to have a partner? You know how many people would love to have a career like you do? You have food, you have shelter, you have all these things. So there's probably a part of you that feels a bit guilty that I should be happy, but I'm not. So
yeah, absolutely.
Totally. Okay. So I know in one of your posts, you talked about how spirituality was a really big helper for you. And it was kind of surprising. You didn't think that was sort of going to be something that helped you so much. What, you know, we have different people say what different spirituality means to them. What would you say spirituality means to you? And what was your version that sort of helped you so much during this period?
Yeah, this was so surprising for me because, you know, I really wasn't connected to being religious growing up in any way. And then, you know, I think that I started to realize that I could define spirituality for myself. And, you know, I've experienced a lot of things in my life that are really challenging. And I don't mean this in a toxic way, but spirituality kind of has given a lot of the pain in my life purpose. For example, when I was 18, I lost my boyfriend. He passed away. I don't mean we broke up. He passed away from a drug overdose. I don't literally mean that happened for a reason, but I mean, I was able to pull lessons from this really challenging thing that happened in my life. And now I can hopefully help others through that time, that there's like a purpose for these things that happen, in understanding and a faith and a trust in that, you know, not in that, you know, the death happened for a reason, but that like how this is going to hopefully have a ripple effect in my life. And hopefully I can help other people through this, you know, that, you know, kind of helps me hold on to something greater. And I didn't really have that before, you know, and as I think I started to get to a darker place in my life, closer to a rock bottom or like a dark night of the soul type of thing, I started to really realize the importance of that, you know, and that keeps us all really connected as a people, as beings, as human beings. It's the thing that keeps us connected in that sense. So yeah, I love that. And I really appreciated defining that for myself. So my biggest takeaway, honestly, is that spirituality is what you need it to be and to define it for yourself. Yeah. So I did that to kind of help myself get through some dark times because I needed to have faith in something. I didn't really know what my life was going to look like. I was struggling financially and health-wise and didn't really know what to grab onto. And that definitely helped.
Wow. I love that so much. That's really inspiring. If anybody's going through, you know, tough times right now, that would probably be helpful to hear. So would you say the faith in knowing things are put in front of you for a reason, there will be some growth in this, there will be something that will get you through this, and then on the other side, you're so much better for it. Sometimes they say even you shouldn't wish for a life of ease because there's no sort of growth and learning and resilience built into that. So of course, we don't wish for bad things to happen, but the simple fact is things do happen, and we can either grow and learn and evolve for it, or we can sort of, you know, be a bit in victim mentality and not grow at all from it. And it sounds like with your spirituality, you're in camp A there, and you chose to let it define you and help you grow. So that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. That was well said, for sure. Absolutely. For sure.
What are some of the most common issues in your practice, in your private coaching practice? What are some of the most common issues that people come to you with? And why do you think those issues are such a common struggle for so many people these days?
That's a great question. I think the most common thing that I see people struggle with is shutting out the noise. They really understand that they're in their own way, that what they believe is possible, whether that's like coming from a parent figure or a past experience or whatever, that their limiting beliefs are impacting what they think is possible for their life. And, you know, that could be stemming from a really hard moment in their life, you know, whatever it is, they feel like they're stuck and they know where they want to go, but they do not know how to get there. And so I help guide them through that transition and provide them with the tools that they need to get there. So that way, once they're in that place, they can stay in that place and keep going for their next goal. You know, this can be anything in terms of a job, a relationship, the way that we feel about ourselves. So really anything that life can encompass, you know, we kind of are our own biggest barrier.
Yeah. That sounds so valuable what you do for people there. Cause I've had so many moments in my life where I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I just started getting really down on myself, but I don't think because of those limiting beliefs, as you mentioned, you don't even give yourself the opportunity to sort of dream or pick a path that you really would want to do. So it's really amazing that you help people sort of remove those limiting beliefs, or at least identify them. Then you know what you're working with and you can sort of work on those. So that's amazing to do that. So aside from being a mindset leadership coach, you are called a validation queen and hype woman, which I love those titles. For people who want to work with you, why would you say having a validation queen and a hype woman is such a benefit? And why aren't people validating and hyping themselves up? So what is it that you bring that they sometimes can't bring to themselves?
This is such a good question. We're all deeply in need of this, that's for sure. You know, we're not taught to validate ourselves. We're taught to validate other people. We are not taught to celebrate ourselves. I mean, we're taught maybe when we achieve something really big, like going to a high school graduation or whatever, that's when we celebrate. But we don't really celebrate ourselves. We don't validate ourselves. And we're not taught that from a young age, but it's really powerful, right? There's lots of studies that kind of talk about the difference between positively reinforcing something and negatively reinforcing something, right? Mm-hmm. So validation kind of falls into that positive reinforcement category. Right? We need to hear that the things that we're doing that are working, and that those are enough, right? It doesn't mean that we're void of giving ourselves constructive feedback so we continue to grow. It's just that our brains and bodies need to hear that the effort that we are putting in is a good thing so we can continue to do those things. So that's how we make change, right? We kind of need to have that positive reinforcement, almost like this is going to be such a crazy example, but that reward system with a dog and a treat, right? Okay, so the dog sits and then you give the dog a treat. Well, now the dog always wants to sit because it wants to get a treat. If we treat our brains nicely, we treat our bodies nicely, we give them that positive reinforcement, we want to keep doing new and good things. And so validation is so important. You know, I didn't grow up with a lot of that. I felt like that was pretty void in school for me, in my house growing up, not completely, just in the ways that I probably really needed to hear it and the things that I needed to really be validated for. So I'm especially sensitive to, you know, making sure to validate other people and teaching people how to validate themselves. Because I think we fall into this trap of looking for so much external validation.
Yeah.
That like falls back into that category of really not choosing ourselves and living a life for other people, right? We have to learn how to be enough for ourselves. And that kind of starts with learning how to validate ourselves and pump ourselves up and be our best friends. And so we need an example of somebody in our life doing that, a voice that like we can kind of grab onto and run with. Yeah. And that's what I do. I teach people how to do that so that way they can be their cheerleader. They can be their own hype woman. It's not so you always need me in your corner. It's so that way you can be your own best friend.
Right. Oh, I love so much about what you just said there. But one of the things that popped in my mind of how important this is like you said, and myself as well, I didn't get a ton of validation from parents growing up. A little bit. They're great people. But I think, you know, they didn't really reinforce the things that I was doing well. So I was very confused at what was I even good at? What should I be doing? You hear this story sometimes from people. Oh, yeah, my grade three teacher really praised my writing or my drawing. And just that one moment literally shaped the rest of their career, and they went into it and they can think back to that one time the person actually stopped to give them recognition. So just think, if you have someone doing that all the time, like I'm getting chills from it now. If you have somebody doing that all the time and not just blowing smoke up your butt, but literally telling you when you know you were really good at this, or I could just imagine that would have such an impact on someone.
I couldn't agree more. I'm thinking of this person in my life, which is so funny. Just like you were like, there, everybody has one person, or you have, you know, yeah, they're a great teacher. I also had a teacher. I also had somebody in my life anyway. So it's so funny. I was picturing that exact person for me as well. Yeah. Yeah, it's such a light switch moment, face down, and somebody in your life kind of turns on your light. And you're like, wait, oh, okay, this is good. I'm good. Yeah.
And yeah, so if you've never had that teacher moment, then Erica's here to give that to you. So
yes, that's wonderful. Absolutely.
Awesome. So we know one of your purposes is to help people lead their best life, become their best selves, best version of themselves. Why do you think so many people are not being their best selves? Is it just fear, limiting beliefs? We touched on it before, but like, what do you think is the reason people aren't fully realizing their potential?
I think the reality is that when we decide or think about this dream life that we have, we A, wonder if we're worthy of that life. And then B, for some people that, you know, maybe want to live a more untraditional life or do different things that maybe aren't approved by their family, they have a lot of fear around these things, because that also is a lot of fear of rejection, right? So now we're going out and embarking on doing what we really want to do, but now all these people that are in our life may not approve of these choices that we're making. Mm-hmm. And so now we have a whole nother different battle, and we're not sure if that battle is worth it, right? We're not sure if that, you know, argument or conversation with mom and dad, if that's worth it. And you know, we kind of just stop in our tracks and settle. And we're like, I'm comfortable here. This is safe here, right? This is predictable. And that's just the reality, right? Our brains like predictable. We like safe. We like comfortable. And when we think about doing big, scary things, we come up with a lot of reasons not to do it instead of all the reasons to do it.
Right.
That fear is really the root of that all.
Definitely. Obviously, it would be nice to have family and friends support for every single thing you do, but you definitely have to go against that sort of programming and like follow your guide, follow your intuition, and do what makes you happy. I remember being really annoyed by trying to explain to people why I'm doing what I'm doing. So you're talking to maybe people who, I don't want to call them narrow-minded, but they seem kind of narrow-minded. They just could not for the life of them see why you would want to do that. And then I would get really annoyed at explaining. Do you think for those people, you even need to explain what you're doing? Or is it more of a yourself thing where you're like, you're happy with what you're doing, you know, it brings you a lot of joy. So really, it doesn't matter what anybody really says.
Yeah, I think that's a good question to be asking, especially around the holidays. You know, I don't know who's listening, but that, you know, where people are asked a lot of uncomfortable questions during
In front of everybody. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And, you know, I think a part of accepting yourself or being the best version of yourself is kind of learning, you know, yeah, to stand up strong in those moments, right? And yeah, to you don't need to over-explain yourself. There's a quote, I don't know who it's by, so I don't want to say who it's by, but it's something to the extent of over-explaining yourself is a great way to be misunderstood. And I think that that's really important to think about when you are maybe communicating with people who you see as a little bit more narrow-minded, and especially if you find that you're maybe a little bit more vulnerable or sensitive at this time, like say what you want to say, you know, and redirect the question or redirect the situation, or say, thank you so much for your interest in this, share a sentence, and then, you know, and then ask somebody how their day was or about how their nephew is or, you know, whatever. We don't I think it's okay to be conscious of who we share energy with and who we share things with, you know, and if you want to explain something to somebody, then maybe taking the time prior to that conversation to figure out exactly what you do want to share and how you want to share it, and prefacing prior to the conversation or comment saying like, hey, I'm looking for you to be supportive prior to me sharing this. This is really important to me. And I know you may not approve of this, but I really need your support right now. And then sharing whatever it is that you want to share. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
No, but it was all very informative and helpful. And I love that saying where you're letting them know, hey, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone here. And I'm really hoping you can just support me in what I'm going to share with you. How can anybody, if you're vulnerably opening up like that and letting them know that this is hard for you to talk about, unless they're really kind of mean people or don't like you, I don't think they're going to, you know, judge you really negatively for what you're going to tell them. Another thing too is that also, you never know what the reaction is going to be. So sometimes we judge ourselves and then we're thinking, you know what, I'm not going to say anything because I know everyone's going to be like, oh, what are you doing? This is crazy. When really we haven't even given it a chance. If we explain it, some family members might be like, wow, that's amazing. How did you come up with that? So I think we also have to prove to ourselves first that we're okay with it, we're comfortable with it, and then share it with others as well.
I think that was well said, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I don't even remember the question now, but we brought up some good points there, for sure.
I just wanted to jump in here and let you know that we are doing a 14-day free trial, which means you get access to the Personal Development School and everything we have going on the other side for free for 14 days. That means you get access to the 4 live webinars I do every single week. You can come in, you can ask me questions with your camera on, we can chat. You can leave your camera off if you prefer, or type your questions in the chat. There's lots of opportunity to get your questions answered. And on top of that, you get access to all of our different courses. We have over 55 different courses on relationships, communication, boundaries, emotional mastery, guilt and shame, learning your needs, so many different facets that are really important to master our lives and feel really good about our lives going forward. And last but not least, there's also community elements in there. So there's a daily community event, whether it's practicing communication or doing a guided morning routine or a guided reprogramming exercise. We have trained facilitators and coaches who are in there doing that work, showing up to support you on your journey every single day. So I would love to see you on the other side. There's lots of exciting stuff in there. And we have had a 99.7% NPS score, which means we have literally that many people who report being really successful at PDS and wanting to recommend this to others. And it was all done anonymously. So I felt really honored that everybody shared that. So thank you to those of you who did. But yeah, please join me on the other side. Come check it out. See if it's a fit for you. I'd love to see you there.
Before the podcast, me and you talked, and we talked about that you have this ability to really be able to hold space for people, and they share that, you know, they can really open up to you and they share really vulnerable stuff with you, and maybe stuff that they don't always share with anybody else. Is that something sort of inborn that you've always had the ability where people just want to share things with you? You have this sort of presence that allows them to do that? Or is that something along your journey and your coaching and whatnot that you sort of develop the skill to be able to hold space for people and create an environment where they feel safe enough to share?
I think a little bit of both. I would say, first and foremost, I really do care. And I think people feel that. You know, when somebody on the other end of a conversation is really present and really there with you. And I really am. So that's first of all, I would say, you know, what the innate part of me is that I'm definitely a highly sensitive person. So I would say I'm pretty intuitive in general, and I'm good at reading people's emotions, tones, body language, et cetera, which is helpful because people want to feel seen. You know, they don't want to have to say every little thing. They just want to share a story and then have somebody understand it. And so, yeah, I'm very good at doing that. And then, yeah, throughout my life experience. I think that I've rounded that skill out. I've had many people help teach me how to be a better listener. I mean, that's the reality, is communicating and listening is definitely a skill. You know, there's parts of it that you bring to the table as to who you are as a person, but everybody can learn to be a better communicator. Everybody can learn to be a better listener. And I feel very grateful to have interacted with the, you know, other professionals in the field that I have that have taught me a lot of the things that I know now. And yeah, so, you know, a little bit of a combination of both, I would say.
No, it's such a gift because, you know, myself coming from more of an avoidant background, suppressing emotions. And one of the core wounds I used to have was like, I am defective. So to share something with someone, you really don't want to bring up somebody judging you and then making you feel you're defective because you're already feeling that way about yourself. So it's such a gift to have someone to be able to open up to and share those inner thoughts and feelings. And even just the simple fact that when you're speaking it outside of yourself, you get to see it from a different perspective instead of just having it sort of rattle around in your mind. So having that space to do that with you sounds like super beneficial. And I know that's something that would be helpful for me as well. So that's wonderful. Okay. So aside from, you know, career and whatnot, with your one-on-one coaching, I know you also help people in the area of relationships. So I wanted to know, were you one of those lucky unicorns who grew up in a totally secure family and only have had good relationship experiences your whole life? Or did you have to do a lot? I see you laughing, so maybe not. Or did you have to do a lot of healing on yourself in this area of relationships to now know how to guide people?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, I did not grow up in a secure household. If my parents end up listening to this, they're going to be like, what does that mean? We're secure. No, they, you know, there was a lot of challenges growing up for me. And yeah, I struggled a lot as a kid. I'm also adopted. And so there was a little bit of friction growing up always about feeling really different or like I didn't belong, truly belong, or that I wasn't truly accepted. So obviously that came up in relationships.
Sure.
Unfortunately, it was my very first boyfriend that passed away from the drug overdose. That definitely didn't contribute to me having a secure attachment style after that. That definitely was challenging. Yeah, I struggled for a while after that. I would say that, you know, I've had some really healthy parts of relationships, and every single relationship that I've had, I've definitely walked away being like, that's a lesson that I've learned from that, whether it's something that I'm bringing from my past, from my own baggage, from my own attachment style, or it's an understanding from, you know, the other person that I've been with, you know. So no perfect home of an example, lots of educating myself and, you know, honestly trying to surround myself with other adults and friends who are also interested in, you know, self-development, personal development, understanding of their attachment styles, to be able to really grow and change and have that be more a part of my life, yeah, as much as possible. Because, you know, if you don't surround yourself around it, it's really challenging to kind of change those things. They're really embedded into, you know, who we are and how we perceive the world. And yeah, I think it's important to have an understanding of ourselves.
Definitely. Thank you for sharing all that. That was very beneficial. So aside from romantic relationships, you know, we all have our friendships. You wrote a really eye-opening post entitled Lessons from a Friendship Breakup. This post got a lot of engagement. So we know that a lot of people might need some help or, you know, have problems in this area. We know during these sort of friendship breakups, there can be a lot of guilt, shame, confusion, depending on, you know, what side of the fence you're on, if you're the one who broke up with someone else or if you're the one who was broken up with. Do you want to just share with us some perspectives on these friendship breakups and, you know, how we can sort of better navigate them and have better perspectives on them?
Yeah, this is so hard. It's so interesting because I think friendship breakups kind of like the pain of them dwindles a little bit longer. It stings in a different way than the breakup, like than a romantic breakup. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there can be a lot of hard feelings surrounded around it, shame, guilt, et cetera. I think on both sides, whether you initiate it or you're the person being broken up with, I think that those feelings can be present on both sides.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that this is talked about more because this is something that happens. It's not something that's normalized. We watch movies and, you know, hear things and everybody's friends for a long time, except that's not really the way that it is typically speaking. I mean, and if you know somebody that's been friends with their high school friends for 30 years, you're like, well, that's rare, mm-hmm. right? You're not like, oh my God, that's everybody's situation. So that's kind of crazy to think about that everybody has experienced friendship breakups or separations of some kind in mm-hmm. their life, but we just don't talk about it. Yeah. And so as for perspective shifts, if you are struggling with a friendship breakup on either side, you know, if you're the person that is being broken up with, just like with anything, you know, that rejection can be really challenging to feel. And it's important to, you know, kind of take this moment for yourself, right? And understand that cliche quote, that rejection is a little bit of redirection and it's protection mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form. So figuring out, you know, where is this redirecting you? Why is this redirecting you? And what can you get out of this experience, right? Going back to that beginning thing that we were talking about, is this a good thing in your life? I don't want to say good. Is this an easier, joyful thing to experience in your life? No. Can you take something from this moment and grow with it? Yes. And learn something and hopefully be better and happier in the end? Yes. It's your decision, right? You kind of get those two paths. You can either kind of become more victim to it, or you can figure out what you're going to learn from the experience. And I think that that's a good place to be, because that pours that love and time and energy back into yourself, which is really should always be the focus anyway. And if you broke up with somebody, I want to commend you. I'm sure that that was really challenging. If it took some time to go through and do that, I hope that that wasn't a rash decision, I guess I should first say. And if it wasn't a rash decision and you really took some time to think about why you don't want this person in your life because they are causing you harm or, you know, whatever it is, I just want to commend you. These things are not easy. That's an act of loving yourself and choosing yourself and, you know, hopefully being as aligned with the best version of yourself as possible. And, you know, we kind of all have to make room sometimes to bring in the new. And so, yeah, just you should pat yourself on the back for doing something really, really challenging. You know, both sides are not easy. I've been on both sides. 100%. And so, yeah, I can speak personally to both sides. And that would be my advice to both people, or what I would say to both people. And if you did do the breakup, you should still figure out what the lesson is in that. Because you were like triggered by this person, or this person is really bothering you, what more is it? Dig deeper, right? No, there's something more there that you can learn from that experience too. Yeah.
It's kind of takes two to tango. If we say it was all this person causing all the issues in the friendship, then you're probably missing a part of that where you can grow and maybe see a bit of a blind spot. I love that. Again, just seeing that, just like romantic relationships, you could either at the end of it, you know, see what growth you got from it, see where you could have shown up better for next time. But if you're just sort of cutting people out and just blaming it all on them, that's probably not going to get you too far in life. But excellent. Thank you. Yeah, again, that's a topic I think not too many people talk about all the time, but it's an important one. So I'm going to move on to one of your posts. You mentioned the key to happiness. And when I clicked further, it was interesting to see that one of the keys to happiness is tied into nervous system regulation. Why do you think having a regulated nervous system is the key to happiness? And can you share a tip or a tool with us about nervous system regulation?
The reason why I personally feel like this is the key to happiness is because it is the reminder that healing is simpler than we think it is, right? We kind of have this idea that healing is actually really complicated, but it's not as complicated as we make it out to be. And the more that we kind of understand the nervous system, the easier it is to understand how to control ourselves, our minds, and our body, right? You know, we have so much opportunity there to heal. Yeah. So I think that my My tip would be, this is like not a specific tip necessarily, but my tip, if you are curious about learning about the nervous system, or you're like hearing more about this and you're like, ooh, I want more, dive into learning the basics. Understand what the nervous system is, understand what those four modes are, understand which one you often go into. Like, do you often go into fight mode? Do you often go into freeze mode? What do you fall most naturally in? And start to understand yourself a little bit more in those moments. And yeah, I would say that that's the most helpful thing is really starting to understand that. That's step 101. I mean, there's lots of tools that you can begin to practice at any moment, but I almost feel like to be frank, I tried the tools before understanding completely. And yeah, there was such a disconnect there personally. I just didn't feel like, it was almost like trying to meditate without really having any intention. I just would sit down and I was like, how do people do this? And so I think that the more that you really understand the basics of the nervous system, the more that those tools actually start to work, because you're like, holy crap, this is actually easy. I get this. That makes sense about why. Why does that work? I would say the tool that I'm most nerding out on now, I hate the cold personally. And as I said at the beginning, I live in Arizona. I mean, I have 110 degree days in the summer and I'm like, cool, yay. No problem with that. But I want to push my threshold a little bit more for being in uncomfortable situations. I used to do that a number of years ago in my life. I had a job that professionally would kind of push me into places where I was, you know, being uncomfortable like that. And I know the benefit of it. So I know that I don't like the cold. So I chose to do face ice baths as much as possible. So yeah, it's really easy. You just fill a big bowl with a bunch of ice and water and stick your face in it. Pick however long you want to go for, set a timer, and then try to increase it, you know, increase the amount of time that you're able to be uncomfortable.
I love that. Yeah, so many good things you said there. I love how you gave the meditation analogy too, because personally, I remember when I first learned about meditation, I was reading the 70 plus benefits you get from meditation and then why it works. So that just gives you so much more motivation to do it as well. So if you're understanding how the nervous system works and the benefits of having a regulated nervous system versus dysregulated, it just gives you so much more motivation and then clarity. And like you said, if you don't know what you're doing, you're like, I don't know, I think I'm doing this right. So it makes sense to understand, get educated, and then give it a go. And the ice, the face of the ice thing, that's amazing too. I was doing cold showers for like a month. I don't even know how I was doing that now. Now that I think about it, I was like, holy cow. But the face in the ice, does that give the same sort of effect as like a cold, full body cold shower, would you say?
I think that I'm doing the face. I do. So the shower, I'll sometimes do a shower, like I'll end it cold,
yeah,
you know, and try to do that. I think that that is a significantly bigger shock than putting your face in. I think that the face, having your face in a bowl is a nice first step, you know, talking about beginning steps. It's hard when things are trending, talking about the nervous system. People don't really know where to start. Where is a good beginning point, right? There's thousands, millions of videos in the gym out there, but some are beginner and some are advanced. And so I think that if you are somebody, you know, and you resonated with me and you don't like the cold, and that's a really uncomfortable situation for you, you know, putting your face in is a really good first step. If you're like, that sounds kind of pathetic, I can do way more than that.
Yeah.
Get in that shower and turn it cold and see how long you can stand in it. I don't mean pathetic in a bad way. I just mean like some people are like, no, I love the cold, right? Like over here, like 110 degrees. And some people are like, I'll go outside in shorts in 19 degree weather and I'm good, right? Them sticking their face in ice water is like nothing. No, it's like bath water.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they need something more. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I love it. Yeah, there's levels. You got to go with what sort of works with you. And just to give a shout out to my coworker, Renee, who works in the personal development school. She runs a twice weekly emotional resilience routine. And she teaches nervous system regulation. She gives the theory for the first half an hour, PowerPoint slides, all this kind of stuff, and then leads everybody through the guided experience. So it's, again, you get the theory, you get to do the actual thing, and you feel great after. So come check out Renee's emotional resilience.
That's epic. That's awesome.
Yeah, Mondays and Thursdays. Soon to be Tuesdays and Thursdays. So in another post, I wanted to talk about, it said, if you came up with the biggest vision for your life and scaled it to 10x, it would still not even come close to what's possible. So when I read that, I was like, you know, it's an exciting statement to read. But I think for a lot of people, they read it and then a little voice in the back of their head thinks, well, this is like for other people or like special people or highly super motivated people to achieve, but 10x, come on. So can you let everyone know, why is this possible for everyone? And how can we start sort of letting ourselves entertain the possibility of having the dream life that we want?
You know, if you don't think it's possible, it's not possible. That's just the basis of that. If you don't think it's possible, if you don't think something is possible, it's definitely not possible.
Yeah.
You know, you're just lowering your chances of doing that. Everybody's dream life starts as an idea. Every single person's dream life starts as like a pipe dream, as this mm-hmm. thing that seems unachievable, unattainable. And those people have failed and started over more times than we can even imagine, more times than they've ever shared with anybody. And that's kind of the difference, right? The difference between people who decide to take that 10X life and people who end up saying, you know, something different or that they don't go for that, is that those people who decide to go for the 10X take that failure and they try again. They get up, they pick themselves up, they dust their shoulders off, and they go for it. You know, that's the difference between somebody who's in a really good place in their life and somebody who's settling, is that they're learning from those mistakes and they're not becoming victim to them. That's why I really believe that we're our own biggest barrier. I know that there are real barriers. I'm not saying that that's not a thing, and I've experienced them. I have experienced a lot of financial issues. I have experienced struggling to pay for bills. I have experienced serious relationship problems, you know, not being close to my family, etc. This dream life that I wanted seemed so unachievable. And then it dawned on me that the reason why it was unachievable is because I kept telling myself that it wasn't achievable and that I wasn't worthy of that because I wasn't X, Y, and Z person, because I didn't have these things, because I didn't, you know, whatever. And those were all just excuses. They were all excuses. It's so sad, but we self-sabotage ourselves. We self-sabotage ourselves to keep ourselves where we are because our body thinks that exactly where we are is safe.
Right.
For some reason, even if we're unhappy. So yeah, you know, just don't forget that every single person that you see that, you know, has the type of life that you want or the confidence that you want or this thing that you're going after, you know, that started as a pipe dream for them too. They are no different. I'm not saying that some people don't have other things that help them get there, but if we're just talking about like people in general, like average, quote unquote, average people all the time level up their lives and really do achieve their dream life and have this really, you know, beautiful thing in front of them. And so the difference is that they just don't, you know, give up.
That's such an important insight because, yeah, we tend to only see the finished product. You know, if you're following someone on Instagram, you're just seeing them as, wow, this person's so successful. Wow, this person has everything they could ever want. But you might not have seen the nights where they were crying their eyes out or when they were beating themselves up and telling themselves they were a loser and all this kind of stuff. So it's really wonderful that you're sharing that those people have had to go through a lot of, you know, a lot of tough times, but they just made the decision that they're going to fail however many times it takes, which is part of the process in order to get to that spot. So that's a really wonderful insight into achieving your dreams. Awesome. So you mentioned once that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. If you want a new career, healthier relationship, deeper self-love, time to start doing things different. So I've definitely been there before, and you know, I've been waiting for the right relationship to come along, the right career to come along, just for this magical moment to happen, to come into my life. But I don't think it works that way. So for people who literally know that they want something different and they're kind of waiting for it, where do they even start? Because we know we do have to put that first step forward. But for the people who don't even know, where do I even start? What would you say to people there? And how do you guide people in that process?
I would say something that I commonly do with my clients who are feeling that way is that, you know, I have them almost vision board their higher self, you know, not just this life that they want, but like, we need to specifically round out who are you trying to become, right? Like, who is this person? How do they act? What do they do? How do they spend their time? What are their self-care routines, right? Who is this person? You know, clarity is a superpower. And so the clearer that you are on who you want to become, the easier it is to kind of start taking the steps to move in that direction. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that that sentiment about like, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're just going to keep getting what you have is really important to remember, because lots of people literally sit and watch years fly by and they just wish that things were different. They literally just wish that they could take a vacation. They wish they had more money. They wish that whatever it is, you know, and it's important to remember that, you know, we have a lot of power in that situation. And the best place to kind of start is to curate as much as possible, like a clear picture of what are you going after? What is your actual goal? Not just in like a fairy tale land, but in a like, get out a piece of paper and figure out who do you want to become?
And even if that person or that goal you want is really too scary to think about, you still have to identify it and sort of put out there, yes, this is scary, this is something that I want, but do you know what I mean? Do you have to allow yourself to sort of dream big? And even though it might seem unattainable at the moment, at least you're putting a bit of a navigational, you know, idea to it.
Absolutely. I think that that's such a good point, is that, you know, these types of activities are actually uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Right. For some people, they get excited thinking about that. And they're like, ooh, yes, like, totally, I want to pull out a piece of paper and I want to do that. But for some people, even asking the question, you know, when you envision your future self, who are you living with? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Who am I living with? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Who am I living with? You know, and it's okay. That's okay. But I think that we're just not taught enough to take the time to ask ourselves, what do I want? Right? We just are taught X, Y, and Z is what's culturally good, and that's what you should go after. And we don't take these moments to pause and say, what do I want? What do I need? And how do I get it? So I can be happy in the end. And right. I don't look back, and I've sat on my couch for 25 years saying, I wish I could have done that. I wish I would have gone for that job. Or like, you know, envying that person you went to high school with on Facebook because they're living that life. And you're kind of sour because they made those hard choices. And you mm-hmm. really wish that you had done that. Right, you know, right. that can make those sure. choices and sure. that life.
I love it. I love it. Inspiring. Okay, so we're coming towards the end of the interview. Thank you again, Erica, for being here with us today. Can you share, so on your Instagram, there's so many different things. You cover so many inspiring things and helpful things. So I'll just leave it to you. Do you want to share a tool or a strategy or a mindset of the many things you sort of talk about? Do you want to share anything with our audience that can help them in their everyday lives?
Yeah, of course. I would say, The biggest thing that has been helpful for me, or a huge tool, a question that I ask myself on a daily basis, it kind of goes back to that best version of yourself. But I ask myself in the really hard moments, what would the best version of myself do right now? Right? Mm-hmm. Let's say I am kind of struggling with procrastination and I'm sitting on the couch and I've been scrolling for a little bit too long. And I'm like in my head having that conversation, I know I should do this thing or I can keep sitting, right? We have this dilemma. And I just pause and ask myself, well, what would the best version of myself do? Well, the best version of myself doesn't, you know, sit for an extra half hour doing something mindless. They're going to go take a walk outside and then, you know, make a smoothie. So, you know, it's a lot easier for me to get up knowing that I'm in service of this bigger vision that I have for myself, that I'm constantly moving the needle forward in that direction. And I think that's a good frame of mind to always have, because, you know, in your head, even if you don't have it written down, what the best version of yourself would do in all these moments, right? Okay. You just do, you know what the right decision is. Sometimes you don't want to make the right decision, but if you take a moment to ask yourself that question, it actually does allow the other side of your brain to kind of kick in, that, you know, logical decision-making part of your brain, then, you know, not as emotional part. And it's like, okay, let's rationally think about this. What would the best version of myself do? Yeah. And then you can kind of carry through on that action. The last part that I would say, and this is important, is for anybody out there that struggles to ask for help, just don't be afraid to ask for help. If you are looking to, you know, change something in your life, level up, do something hard, it's okay to admit that you can't do it by yourself. If you need accountability, even if you feel like you're a guru and you know everything about self-development, but you can't hold yourself accountable, get yourself somebody to hold yourself accountable. Stop waiting and get the life you want.
For sure. I love that. That's so, so nice. And I know for avoidant types, we're really like hyper independent and think we have to do everything on our own. But I know I've heard from so many really brilliant people. We're hearing this from you today. Ask for help. And would you agree with me that no one who's done anything really amazing in this world has not been helped by several, several people? And that's just a simple fact. And Tyce Gibson at Personal Development School, what she's built, there's a ton of people behind the scenes who are doing amazing, amazing work to help support her and bring her work into the world. And without the help of everybody, that might not be possible, or it would be on such a smaller scale. So I love how you're giving that advice to people. Ask for help and, you know, don't feel bad about it. It's not weakness. It's just synergy. It's having people help you get to your goal. So I love that you mentioned that. Okay, as we come to the end of our interview today, I just want to ask, what are you offering these days? Aside, is there anything other than your one-on-one coaching, or what are you offering these days to people?
Thank you so much for asking that as well. Yeah, at this current moment, I offer packages of 3 months of working one-on-one with me. I hope to do group stuff in the future. But at this point, it's one-on-one for a minimum of 3 months. And yeah, we kind of break down each of the 3 months into different categories. So the first category is, you know, a little bit of me getting to know you so I can understand how to help you. What are you going after? You know, getting that clear picture that we were talking about before. You know, the middle month is me teaching you those tools and you practicing those tools. And, you know, the nice thing about my coaching is that we use your real life as examples for practicing those tools. And then the third month is me teaching you how to hold yourself accountable. You know, I think the really important part about coaching in general is that you learn to be autonomous. You know, I don't want you to need me your whole life. I want you to feel like you have the tools to live your most fulfilled life. You know, if you ever work with me, it's okay if you don't even remember me after we work together. If you're like, I did that thing 10 years ago and I worked with this woman, I can't even remember her name, I would be stoked. It's not about me, it's about you and you living your most fulfilled life.
I love that. And lastly, how can people get in touch with you? Social media, website, what's the best way people can follow you or work with you?
Instagram is definitely the best way to reach me. My handle is _lifegains_.
Perfect. Okay, well, Erica, thank you so much today for your time, your wisdom, and everything you shared with us. I learned a lot and I really enjoyed talking to you, and I hope you enjoyed today as well.
I did. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful day as well. Thank you very much.
For sure. And for our audience, thank you again so much for being here with us today, and best of luck in your healing journey.